moved southwards. About 45 people are now living in Abu Muhammad's home, including 15 members of his extended family. They, like 2.3 million others in Gaza, face the risk of dehydration. Abu Muhammad says that fuel shortages and the electricity crisis have disrupted the distribution of water from groundwater wells into homes. There has also been a near total halt to the delivery by truck of water from desalination plants. Groundwater, which is salty, is used for washing and for household cleaning. Abu Muhammad is struggling to fill tanks on which his home relies. Doing so requires pumps for transferring water to the tanks, which are on the rooftops. The pumps require electricity, which is very scarce. On one day, Abu Muhammad managed to provide some water for his family and their guests by filling the tanks. He did so by using the electricity supplied to his neighbor through a generator for half an hour. Abu Muhammad is uncertain if he will be able to fill the tanks that way again. A school in Gaza City's Beach refugee camp is now a shelter for displaced people trying to escape artillery shells and missiles fired by the Zionist regime. They begin searching for water in the early morning. Sami is staying in the school run by the UN Agency for Palestine Refugees, UNRWA, with 8 members of his family. After being deprived of water for a number of days, he went out on the streets asking people he met to help. He eventually managed to fill a large container with water from generous families, he said, adding, "I filled it after a long walk." Sami is a farmer who owns land in Beit Hanun, northern Gaza. The Zionist regime has pounded the surrounding area with artillery shells for the past month. Sami said, "They have crushed our land and the harvest has gone to waste. Here are now displaced. Access to water has become a distant dream." Munira remained in Sheikh Radwan area of Gaza City after many of her neighbors evacuated their homes. She said, "Our family's supply of water is on the verge of running out." To survive, Munira asked neighbors if she could use water from their tanks after they evacuated. She emphasized that she did so as a last resort. She said, "We borrowed water from our neighbors, emptying their tanks, which are also almost depleted. With my children, we brought it to our home." Munira has devised a plan aimed at keeping water use to a minimum. She and her children have been unable to bathe for a number of weeks. In the kitchen, they use plastic dishes so that not much water will be used for the washing up. Nobody knows how much longer the Zionist regime will continue bombing Gaza. So long as this war continues, the death toll will keep rising, and there is a great risk that people will not just be killed by missiles, bombs, and shells, but also by hunger and thirst. The website of UNICEF also wrote, in the Gaza Strip, the recent escalation of conflict has exacerbated humanitarian needs for more than 2.3 million people, over 50% of whom are children. The area is grappling with critical shortages in water directly affecting its people, especially children. The Gaza Strip power plant, crucial for power generation and water purification, has ceased operations due to fuel shortages. Gaza's water facilities, including the UNICEF EU-supported desalination facility, which supplies water to 75,000 residents and has the potential to reach 250,000, are now running at a minimal capacity due to the halting of electricity supply and fuel constraints.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents
Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. Well, welcome to another episode of the program Viewpoints. I am Atta, the host of this program. I have two very special guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom to discuss today's topic, Brother Habib and Sheikh Rouhani. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh Rouhani. Welcome to Sheikh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And Brother Habib, assalamu alaikum to you.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
For today's discussion, we want to talk about the meaning of istikbar. Do we have any Quranic definition for this term? And who are modern mustakbirs? The term istikbar is roughly translated into English as arrogance, but I think it is not a comprehensive full definition or equivalent for istikbar. Brother Habib, would you define first the concept of istikbar for us?
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ali baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin. Of course, the word istikbar, as you said, like the basic way to translate it would be the word arrogance. It's one of the key words used in the Islamic terminology,
yes.
Or if you want to have a dictionary of references or terminologies available in the Islamic world,
yes.
Istikbar will be very clear to those who are opponents mm-hmm. and enemies of the truth,
okay.
Those standing in the path of truth.
Okay.
And it goes back to the factor of that arrogance or self-pride or what I like to call nadhariyat mahwar al-kawn, where the theory of that they think that everything revolves around them, that mm-hmm. if they die, the world is going to stop spinning.
Mm-hmm.
So because of their self-interest, because of their self-desires, they stand in the path of guidance. They try to turn off the light of guidance, and therefore causing nations of people or generations of humanity to fall astray.
Okay.
So that's the most simple way I could put it forward.
Does it start with the religion of Islam? Because you said truth. So when say they are opponent to
Is there
truth,
any other truth other than the religion of Islam?
For example, before we had so many prophets.
It was also Anbiya, called Islam
Awliya,
as well.
Okay.
It was also called Islam as well. Mm-hmm. Moses was called a Muslim.
Yes.
Abraham was called a Muslim. The okay. sons of Abraham were called Muslims. Noah was called a Muslim. The meaning of Muslims is to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So istikbar is anti-God.
It's, you could call it anti-monetism.
Monism, that's right. Okay. That's all right. Sheikh Rouhani, what are the main characteristics of, this concept? I mean, istikbar, who are they? Were they from, for example, day one, active in the world? or no, it is a modern concept, especially in the political scene of the world?
Of course, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, it is rooted in, from the Quran perspective, the word istikbar comes from the root kibr. Mm-hmm. Kibr means selfishness or arrogance, to be very much proud of yourself and ignore the others, let's say, values or, for example, better qualities. This is a kind of kibr that is, istikbar comes from this root. But of course, in the Quran, in the story of Satan, we see that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered him to prostrate before Adam, in the Quran it said, Aba wastakbara. Mm-hmm. Then Shaitan or Satan did not listen to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, did not obey the truth. When you deny the truth, the haqiqah, it is a kind of istikbar.
Okay.
If you obey, if you confirm or let's say submit to the truth, then of course it is the opposite of istikbar. Mm-hmm. That is why, from this perspective, we can say that whoever in this world, in the modern world, who deny and reject the haqiqah, the truth,
yes,
they are mustakbir. Okay. Their viewpoints, their idea is satanic.
Okay. And what is that haqiqah, Brother Habib? When we say truth and haqiqah, what is it exactly?
Total submission towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mm-hmm. Stated before that Islam.
Okay.
The meaning of Islam again, submission towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, this this roots back to the importance of understanding the notion of La ilaha illallah.
Mm-hmm.
That belief in tawheed.
Yes.
That effect it has and the application it has towards human beings. There's a small interpretation of Ayatul Kursi, mm-hmm. written by Sayyid al-Khamenei, Sayyid Ali Khamenei. Very beautifully put forward the facts and the importance of believing in one God.
Mm-hmm.
When you believe in one God, as well mentioned in the saying of Al-Fadl ibn Shadhan, in Alal al-Sharai'a, Shaykh al-Saduq narrates it in various of his books, the concept that believing in one God means that you believe in one authority. When you have that one authority, it means you do not follow anyone or anything else. You're under one rule.
Yes.
And who is this ruler? It is an all-knowing, all-powerful, all-knowledgeable being or existence. And that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you are following Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are not following anything else. Therefore, if you are obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala correctly, then complete social and individual peace will be available.
That's
complete
right.
Social and individual order would be available.
Okay.
So that's one of the reasons why, again, going back to
that's
the
right.
purpose of life.
So when we say injustice in today's world, when we see, for example, lack of kindness, lack of passion towards the people. Nowadays, we could see, for example, Israel attacking Gaza people. So many children, a kind of ethnic cleansing is happening, a kind of genocide is happening. So although they believe in a religion, Judaism, but still we can say that inside the religion, there are some mustakbirs, isn't it?
Yes, there's a couple of points I want to point out.
Okay.
Too. First of all, the saying of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, the root of kufr,
mm-hmm.
the root of infidelity are three. And he states one of them is envy, and the second one he states is istikbar,
yes.
arrogance.
Okay,
that's one thing. And the second thing is that, again, highlighting what I stated about following one authority, that authority must be correct.
Mm-hmm.
It must be the reality. It must not be corrupted.
Yes,
it must not have any strangeness to it.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the religion of Judaism was played with. Again, if you go into the ideology of Judaism, you see that there's this concept of them thinking that they are the chosen people of Allah.
Yes.
They are the chosen people of the Creator.
Yes.
And they say it themselves. The rest of the humanity are like mere water drops,
yes.
and they are the river.
Yes.
They have uh-huh. that. They have that very clear in the Torah, and they use that as a. They cite that a lot to
mm-hmm.
prove their point. And again, they politically wise,
yes.
they state the animal thing
the
that
animal
you wanted
thing,
to say
right.
that we're
okay.
like rats, and they're the
yes.
you know good
yeah.
people and clean people or whatever.
Yes.
And then when you have that mentality, that's bringing in self interest, that's bringing in hatred towards
mm-hmm.
other. You know, let's call it cultures. Then you have this hatred towards them.
Yes.
With that ideology, yeah, you're going to see results that's coming right. in like what we're seeing in Palestine where mm-hmm. they don't care as long okay. as that they feel a threat, not certain about it.
Yes.
They feel the threat, even if it's between children.
Yes.
Even if it was in a hospital, they're willing to bomb it down. They're willing to kill 500 people to, yes. for the sake of killing two or three people.
That's all right.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parsetoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Okay, who is ruling over them? Shaykh Rouhani, I mean, except satanic powers, satanic temptations, carnal desires, which are active, you know. Who is ruling over these arrogant powers in the world? Can we, for example, say, do they have any secret or hidden, for example, agenda or manifestation for themselves all across the world? And this must be regardless of the color, you know, language and religion. You can find Mustakbir in all the religions, okay?
You know, from the Islamic perspective, the evildoers are not the followers of the truth, mm-hmm. are not the obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes.
The evildoers, the wrongdoers are always following Satan.
Yes.
Their mentality is satanic.
Yes.
It means that Satan is ruling over them.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, you would observe, for example, justice.
Yes.
Because we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just and fair.
Yes.
And then, of course, the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be also just and fair. When you do not observe the rule of justice in your life,
yes.
it means that you're not following Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Mm-hmm.
And your religion is not the true religion.
Yes.
Your belief is not the true belief.
Okay.
Because justice is one of the criteria by which we can evaluate the true teachings of a religion.
Yes.
That is why from the Islamic perspective, if someone deny and rejects the truth, the haqiqah of justice in their political affairs, in their social, let's say, conducts, in their moral conducts, mm-hmm. even in their individual conducts.
Yes. Forgetting God.
This kind
yeah.
of
okay.
Behavior or
yeah.
this kind of acts or deeds that they perform mm-hmm. in their life cannot
yes.
be attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
But other Habib pointed out, referred to a nice point, saying a kind of muwahhid lifestyle. If you are not muwahhid, you do not have any monotheistic look at the world, and that time you fall into the traps of, for example, secularism, mundane life, you know, materialistic looks at the life, then self-centricism comes into the play, isn't it? So you are now the god of the world. You consider yourself as the main deity of the world. So whatever you decide, you think it is true.
That's the nature of human beings. They see themselves, if when they gain the power, when they gain the strength, they see themselves as gods.
Mm-hmm.
They strive, human beings, if without the discipline of, or I like to call it the divine discipline of Allah, that was sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without that divine discipline, they will become gods in their eyes. They will become like Pharaoh.
Mm-hmm.
They will become like Qarun. They will become
yes.
like any other infidel who fought the prophets, who fought the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And seeing it in this world again, going back to the point of who rules them.
Yes.
No one rules them. They rule themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Their desires are the ones that are ruling.
Okay.
Again, there was this speech from Hosni Mubarak, former Egyptian prime minister, where he states that, where he was asked, like, why don't you go into Palestine? Why don't you send troops to Palestine and, you know, just end it? He said, to fight who? The United States? And everyone started laughing. It was clear. Why? Why is everyone afraid to enter Palestine? We're Muslims. We're seeing our Muslim brothers and sisters dying. But the question is, why are the countries afraid?
Mm-hmm.
Is it only because we're afraid of war? Why don't we put our hands together and fight this war? Is it are we looking for our self-interest? I mean, look at some Arab countries.
Yeah.
During this time or these times of hardships for another Muslim country, they're out there having parties, dancing
yeah.
together in a country where Islam came,
mm-hmm.
where Islam came into existence.
Yeah.
So when you look at that,
you just start to think to by yourself. I said this before to a couple of brothers in a special meeting, that one of the benefits from the Palestinian war is that it has uncovered the need for an imam. Mm-hmm. The need for an authority or a divine authority. When you see that the Muslims cannot come together to come and fight a common enemy, you start to think to yourself, who's in charge of the Muslims? Where do we return to when we need a leader?
Yes.
Where do we go back to? Do we go back to bin Salman? Or do we go back to, for example, the Sisi? Mm-hmm. To whom do we go back to?
Yes.
We need a ruler as Muslims. We need an imam. We need a leader. We need someone who orders us to do this or to do that as a Muslim nation, yes, as a Muslim community. So I believe that one of the benefits that happened in the Palestinian war is that it uncovered, it shows the importance of imamah, the need of imamah, and inshallah ta'ala, under the flag of our imam, Imam Sahib al-Asr al-Zaman, inshallah ta'ala, we will see it. We will see that blessing, inshallah ta'ala.
That's right. That's right. This is the pivotal point, that who is, for example, the leader, who must be the leader, what are his characteristics, you know, who can make unity between all these Muslims. Nowadays, as you said, because of political and the social interest, nobody's getting to the scene. Of course, they are supporting. They establish some, they have some congresses here and there, conferences, okay, but it's not fruitful at all.
I mean, like, I'm sorry about this, but like, you know, we have this in the, you know, you guys have it in, yeah, the Iranian culture, we have it in the Arab culture. Yeah. Go get married.
Yeah.
They hit their chest. We're with you. We'll bring you gifts. We'll give you everything. We'll okay, get you the house. Don't worry. They hit their chest. And then when they go get married, what do they bring you? Glass cups.
Yes.
That's exactly what the Palestinians are going
through
right now.
Which is breakable.
That's what the Palestinians are going, yes, right now. Like the Arab nations, the Muslims, everyone. Mm-hmm. They said, we're with you. We're standing with you. We're not going to let the enemy attack you. We're not going to let the enemy harm you. We're not going to let the enemy, you know, destroy you. Half of Gaza has disappeared. Has, yes, become into rubble.
Yes.
Where are you?
That's right. All right. Thank you very much, Sheikh Rouhani and Brother Habib, for a nice elaboration regarding the concept of istikbar and who are the modern mustakbirs. It was very kind of you. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Viewpoints. For more information, visit our website at parstudy.ir, Call of Islam page. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to this episode of Viewpoints. Please don't forget to log on to our website at parstoday.ir. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Gathered here with my family, my neighbors and my friends, standing firm together against oppression, holding hands. It doesn't matter where you're from, or if you're young or woman or man, we're here for the same reason. We want take back our land. Oh God, thank you for giving us the strength to hold on. And now we're here together, calling you for freedom, freedom. You know you can hear our call. Oh, oh, we're calling for freedom, fighting for freedom. We know you won't let us fall.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and here is a bezel of wisdom from the gateway of the city of knowledge, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. Meet people in such a manner that if you die, they weep for you, and if you're alive, they long for your company. Mm-hmm.
This is IRIB English Radio. Iranian news. Iranian culture. Iranian voice. www.parstoday.com/en.
Population density rate in the Gaza Strip.
Part 1.
Prayers for the Prophet Muhammad's suite. There are rich and poor people in Gaza. People are not all the same. Some of them are employees and the others are not.
The family decided to get me, Abu Arab, married. They did not accept the idea of being divorced. They wanted me to get married with a woman from Jericho. We traveled to Jericho and I got married with Arab. This is our homeland that the Israelis occupy. These are the borders of Erbia village from which we were transferred in 1948. The Israelis evacuated us from the village and settled it. Since then, we have been living in Jabalia refugee camp until the moment.
Before 1948, population of the Palestinians was estimated at 1.5 million. After 65 years since Al-Nakba, the Palestinian 1948 catastrophe, the estimation raised to about 10 million inside Palestine and in the Palestinian diaspora countries, 1.5 million in the Palestinian territories occupied in 1948, 5 million in the diaspora, 2.5 million in the West Bank, and 1,700,000 in the Gaza Strip. According to some data, the population density in Palestine in general and in the Gaza Strip in particular is high. For instance, 481 people live in each square kilometer in the West Bank and 4,661 per square kilometer in the Gaza Strip.
The Gaza Strip is a small area with a large number of people. The Strip is unable to absorb its population. This is actually a big problem. According to a report by the United Nations, the rate of birth in 2012 increased to 14,000 in just a quarter of a year. Imagine how it will be in a whole year. The birth rate here is very high. The people here love childbearing. They are kind and reproductive. Most of them have 13 or 15 children, or even more. You can hardly find old parents who have only two or three children. For this reason, this hospital has a higher birth rate than those in neighboring countries.
Population density rate in the refugee camps, where refugees live in hard conditions in the same houses of their descendants were transferred to after the Nakba of 1948, is the highest.
They thought they were being transferred from their homes for a couple of weeks and would return later on. But that was not true. They waited for months and years. Bachelors got married, and those who were married had more children. For example, if I have 4 children, and someone else has 5, and another one has 6, the total of the children is 15. Suppose 5 or 3 children of the total passed away. The remaining will be 10 children. Do you understand?
What did people with many children do? We will be like China.
They hope to return to their original areas someday. The old tell the story of transfer to the young, and parents tell it to their children to keep the catastrophe remembered.
I am Aida Osama Ibrahim Dawas. My original village is Herbia. We have a land by the coast. I wish I can return to my land in Herbia to play and build a big house instead of this small one.
My grandfather, may Allah bless him, kept the Tabo land property papers. They have been maintained until the moment. Most of our lands are in Hamama. I will never give up my land in Hamama. That is impossible. Who could give up his own land? I live in a house with 2 married sons. One of them has 8 children and the other has 5. I myself have 9 children. All of us live in only one house. Gaza Beach Refugee Camp is the 3rd most overpopulated area. The first one is Rafah Refugee Camp, and the second is Jabalia Refugee Camp. These 3 camps are the most overpopulated refugee camps. I was born and grew up in Jabalia Camp. House roofs were made of roof tile, streets were much wider, and the people were less than they are now. They were 30,000, now they are 120,000. The size of these buildings you're looking at is the result of expanding the houses at the expense of street size. People lack enough space to live in, so they widened their families' houses. This is why streets became narrower and the population density higher. People cannot live in the edges of the camp since the Israeli occupation lies there in ambush. Look how narrow this street is. Look where they moved the electrical column to expand their house. They wanted to house their children. Look at the street. It is not wide enough for 2 people to pass through together in parallel. Look how narrow this street is. If I have to pass through it, I should turn like this. Its width is 60 centimeters. Actually, it is no longer a street. All the streets here became like this one. The further you go, the more narrow it seems. The area of this house is 40 to 50 square meters. It is occupied by 7 persons in a 3-meter by 3-meter room. The place is as you see. The kitchen and bathroom are small. 7 individuals sleep in this room. It looks like a prison cell by the Israeli occupation. Even the Israeli cell where I was imprisoned was bigger.
The Palestinian reality is full of pains and memories of tyranny and oppression. Osama Dawas was forced to live in a refugee camp. Living in the camp did not last long. Osama was arrested by the Israeli occupation army and sentenced to more than 10 years. In the sentence, he was imposed to investigation, solitary confinement, and torture.
In 1985, I was imprisoned for 10 years. I was sentenced for resisting the Israeli occupation. In the torture period, which was about 3 months, the Israeli intelligence apparatus focused on prisoners' reproductive organs. The beating was directed to the organs area. The Israelis sought to cause infertility. Then when I was released and got married, I did not think that I would be able to reproduce. Fortunately, I got my eldest daughter, twins, a baby, and then another one. Thanks Allah, who gives us health and protected us against the cruelty of the jailer and the Israeli intelligence apparatus. Despite all the Israelis' actions against us, Allah frustrated their efforts and gave me my children. If I had more space in my house, I would have more children. This is my house. It has been built since I was born. Its construction is weak. Some parts of the walls have fallen. We clean our clothes and hang them out of the house. Pieces of the concrete fall, and the iron of the concrete can be seen. If somebody shuts the door, some pieces of the wall may fall. This is the castle where I live. Its asbestos roof is broken. It becomes worse in the winter. Water flows inside the house as if it was a street. But the street is much better. In the street, you can decide where to hide yourself from the rain. But here inside, you cannot even know from where the rain may come.
We're all seven people, three boys and two daughters also, a daughter-in-law and my son and his pregnant wife. That's nine people. We all live in a house of 65 square meters.
If two or three guests visited me, there wouldn't be space for them. Suppose four or five guests visited me, what would I do? In Eid, I put some chairs in front of the house for the guests, pretending power was off, it was warmer inside, and sitting in the street was much more comfortable.
Refugee camps' population is 70% of the total population of the Gaza Strip. The remaining percentage of the population is distributed in the urban and rural areas, which are being shrunk by daily expansion of urban sprawl. This is due to a regular ongoing increase in population ratio, which is expected to reach more than 2 million in 2020.
The Gaza Strip, from Beit Hanun to Rafah, seems like one city. It is full of buildings mixed together. The green lands of farms and parks begin to vanish. The Gaza Strip cannot absorb such a large population.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers, dear sisters, Salamu Alaikum, so welcome. This is another episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. We're speaking about hijab fashion in the view of Islam. Please listen to this episode. Salamu Alaikum. Today, Saturday, is the 26th of Rabiul Thani, 1445 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 20th of Aban, 1402 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 11th of November, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. So, at first, we open Allah's book, the Holy Quran, and we'll listen to the first ayah of chapter An-Nur.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
سورة أنزلناها وفرضناها وأنزلنا فيها آيات بينات وأنزلنا فيها آيات بينات لعلكم تذكرون.
This is a surah which we have sent down and made that within it obligatory and revealed therein verses of clear evidence that you might remember.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Since this surah has recommended all believers, and especially women, to be chaste, Islamic narrations to give much prominence to teaching and reciting this surah by women. In fact, it can be considered as the surah of chastity because the main part of its commandments is about removing society from sexual defilements through different ways. Paying attention to the content of surah, which stands against immodesty through various ways, chastity makes clear the main idea of this holy surah.
My life is not the same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I when I have you? Doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. You are the light. You guides me through my darkest nights. Shows me right from wrong in a world that often lies. Cause I don't need,
I don't need
anyone. Anything in life, but you know I don't need anyone to show me my way. No, I don't need anyone but you.
Yes, we're speaking about hijab fashion in the view of Islam. The fashion world has grown very rapidly alongside the development of technology. While Western and Eastern fashion trends and developments have increasingly competed with each other from year to year, some of these trends are far from Islam and have not been adopted by Muslims. The Western perspective is clearly different from the Islamic perspective in many ways, and there are some similarities. There are some areas of Western fashion that are contrary to the principles of Islam. From an Islamic perspective, style, appearance, and fashion is a serious matter. Dressing is important in Islam because one's appearance creates certain messages in people's minds when seen. Muslims are required to pay attention to their appearance, making sure that their clothing is beautiful and clean, especially when dealing with others and when performing the required prayers.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The role of modest fashion in Islamic culture. In recent years, modest fashion has gained significant attention in the fashion industry. It is a clothing style that covers the body in a way considered fair according to cultural or religious beliefs. For Muslims, modest fashion is an essential part of Islamic culture, as it aligns with the Islamic principle of dressing modestly. Here, we define modest fashion as a form of dressing that includes styles that are loose-fitting, non-transparent, and cover the body parts that are considered private. Islamic fashion has a rich history that dates back centuries. The cultural and religious practices of Muslims heavily influence Muslim clothing. Modest fashion for women includes hijab, abaya, and burqas, while for men it includes thobes, kufis, and turbans. Here, we shall try to provide a brief history of the Islamic fashion, highlighting how it has evolved. The importance of modest fashion in Islamic culture cannot be overstated. Dressing modestly is considered an act of worship in Islam. It reflects the values of modesty, humility, and purity. And purity, central to Islamic teachings, Muslims believe dressing modestly fulfills their religious obligations and promotes societal harmony and mutual respect.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every bar.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
First requirement, parts of the body to be covered. The first bit of guidance given in Islam describes the parts of the body which must be covered in public. Let's look at this issue for women. In general, standards of modesty call for a woman to cover her body. The Quran calls for women to draw their head coverings over their chests, as in chapter 24 of the Holy Quran, verses 30 and 31. And the Prophet Muhammad instructed that women should cover their bodies except for their face and hands. Most Muslims interpret this to require head coverings for women, although some Muslim women, especially those of more conservative branches of Islam, cover the entire body, including the face and the hands, with a full body chador. What about for men? The minimum amount to be covered on the body is between the navel and the knee. It should be noted, though, that a bare chest would be frowned upon in situations where it draws attentions. This is today's special, and again, we have interesting tips. For today, tips to get us started with hijab. Ignore the outside noise. Dear brothers and sisters, remember you want to stop being yourself because of the outside noise. When you start wearing the hijab, you might come across a lot of judgment, but remind yourself of your intention and why you are doing it. Take it one day at a time. This is another tip. if you dive into the deep and before you learn how to swim, you might end up drowning and will be hesitant to swim again. The same principle can be used when you start wearing the hijab. Take baby steps when starting out. Try wearing the hijab when going out every other day, and soon, with the help of Allah and patience, one day will turn into weeks, then months. Before you know it, your hijab will become second nature.
So first and foremost, should we care about fashion? Should we care about how we dress? And what does how you dress say about you?
Absolutely. I believe that what, you know, how you dress says a lot about you and your personality and who you are. And that's a known fact. Today, the way you dress out in public determines, you know, a lot of things about you. And people choose, you know, a lifestyle. And within their lifestyle, there's also, you know, a specific fashion or a specific clothing line or a specific way for them to dress. That says a lot about them. Now, obviously, we have to dress differently to different places, right?
Definitely.
Let's say tomorrow you have a job interview. And you have graduated from the best university, and you're really good at what you do.
Right.
But you end up just walking out of the house with your pajamas. You know, you don't comb your hair, you don't take care of yourself. You just show up to the job because you think that I'm qualified. I'm really good at this. And then someone else comes there as well to the job interview who's less qualified, who probably hasn't graduated from the same school that you have.
Right.
But he's neat. And he's taken care of himself, he's well-groomed, he's well-spoken. The second person is way more likely to get the job.
Definitely.
Because people don't just want smart people, you know? They want people who also have emotional intelligence. And when we spoke of emotional intelligence, this is part of your emotional intelligence telling you how to dress where, and how to act, and, and how to behave, and how to speak in different different settings.
So we were speaking about hijab. Inshallah, we continue this interesting topic on this controversial and interesting topic on the next episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Don't forget to listen to us. And till then, we leave you in Allah's protection. Have a nice time.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi. علي إمامي لفتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي لا إله إلا الله الله ربي محمد نبي علي إمامي لفتى إلا علي علي إمامي
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
White light lit up the sky over Gaza tonight. People running for cover, not knowing whether they're dead or alive. They came with their tanks and their planes, with ravaging fiery flames. nothing remains. Just a voice rising up in the smoky haze. We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight. Women and children alike, murdered and massacred night after night. While the so-called leaders of countries afar debated on who's wrong or right. But their powerless words were in vain, and the bombs fell down like acid rain. Through the tears and the blood and the pain, you could still hear that voice through the smoky haze. We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go Gaza tonight. We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in the night without a fight. We will not go down in Gaza tonight. A blinding flash of white light lit up the sky over Gaza tonight. People running for cover, not knowing whether they're dead or alive. They came with their tanks and their planes, with ravaging fiery flames, and nothing remains. Just a voice rising up in the smoky haze. We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Death toll from Israel's onslaught on the Gaza Strip surpasses 11,000, many of them women and children, as the regime continues targeting schools and hospitals. Iran's President Ibrahim Raisi calls for united action by Islamic countries to stop ongoing Israeli genocide against Palestinians in Gaza. And hundreds of pro-Palestinian protesters blocked the entrances to a factory.